All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you know, I'm quite the bibliophile.
Ooh.
You know, I'm bibliophilic. Just call me bibliophil. While other people go about with their sports balls, and maybe they go out and they play video games, I much prefer the world of the written word.
Yes.
You know?
You're a real page master.
Yeah. Find me among the spines and covers.
Yes.
Yes.
The bound. You are not a bookworm. You are a book snake.
Yes. I am book snake. Bindings unbound. I find thee in the library of thy discontent. So I got a new book.
Ooh. Okay.
And it is, it's 101 Facts About Dragons.
Nice.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, we can kind of flip around in here, learn some things about dragons, because as a bibliophile, my number one priority is learning.
Right. I think you pronounced that wrong.
Other people. No.
Oh, okay.
I've read it many times. Other people, number one priority, movies.
Yeah.
Entertainment, you know, romance, food, getting blasted out of their brains on mind altering substances.
Blah.
Me.
Why would you dull your instrument?
So in me, I read. Mm-hmm. So I get this book, 101 Dragon Facts, and I'm going to learn, you know, I'm going to really learn.
Okay.
I'm going to improve myself with these dragon facts. And it might point to a game if we kind of just flip to a random page. I think I'm guaranteed we've done a flip to a random page, but it's been a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's got to be like first 10 episodes.
Yeah. Let's cut the deck.
Okay. Let's let me flip through it here. Did you know most dragons grow to be at least as big as their mothers?
Okay, at least. All right.
Mm-hmm. You've learned.
Yeah.
A little something. Now, let me give you the book, and you flip and give me a random dragon fact.
Yeah. Let me flip here. Da-da-da. No dragon has ever paid back a loan. Huh.
That's where the saying comes from.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Neither a borrower nor a dragon bee.
Yeah. 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 Dragon bees, man. Look out.
Oh, like, no.
I hope that never happens. Let's see if we can find out if it does happen. Let me flip here to the thing. Oh, cool. Like, it looks, this might be a riddle of some kind. We might have stumbled onto like a secret here, the true kind of learning. It's if a dragon thy be, nevermore look to see dragon lore. On 3DO thou must find the disc what bring the darkness binds.
Oh no!
We did it. It was a spell, but it was also 3DO and DOS. I'm smart.
Hey, Gary, what's your name?
Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Bibliofield.
Yep.
Gary Bibliofield.
Yeah. And what show is this?
This is Abject Suffering. Sure, we play bad games, so you don't have to.
Yeah. And this is something else. This is Dragon Lore, The Legend Begins.
Does that legend ever end, Cole?
Well, there was a sequel.
Was a sequel, and it was a bold move for them to like say, hey, we're gonna get a sequel.
Yeah,
but
chapter one, my life is a song, it began at birth, and that song is Lowrider by War.
Of course you'd say that. You're not quite as into books as I am. I don't know where that character's coming from. I don't believe it.
Somebody who's real snooty about reading. So what's funny is the idea that, like, oh, yes, I'm a reader. We exist at a time that, like, we consume so much more text than anybody else has before us.
1,000%. I always feel that way about any of those kind of, like, snootiness or snobbiness about reading in general. I think that, like, it just kind of, like, you know, so there's that point where it's like, oh, I'm actually constantly reading. It's just a different form. And like, you can get mad at that if you want to, but I don't understand why. But then the other thing too is just that like, there's most books are trash the same way most everything is trash.
Right, right.
You know, you run into somebody who's just like, oh, I prefer to read, you know, and then I like reading, and this isn't me taking a bold stance against reading. I just think it's just a medium, you know. I like reading. It's funny that it is considered to be, you know, on a higher strata than anything else, when it's like you could be reading some real fucking R.A. Salvatore shit.
Yeah. You know?
Did you, and not to get us away from, we started on tangent because I did bad thing, but the were you with me in that I'm saying this 100% sincerely, I didn't want the intro to this game to end ever. Like, if this was feature length, I would have been so fucking here for all of this.
Same.
Like, I love it. I love it. I've never been more here for anything we've done for the show, really, than this intro.
Than this like get smart intro of an awkward knight slowly but weightlessly walking into a castle.
These walk cycles are goat. Like, these are some of the best, like, and video games, for all of their flaws, they have a lot of great walk cycles.
Uh-huh.
The walk cycles on display here are just like masterpiece class.
this is the walk cycle equivalent of the T pose.
Like, exactly. It's like they've been unfrozen. You know, they were found in time in a T pose, uh-huh. and somebody rubbed like in on them, and they're slowly getting their movement back, but they're not there yet. It is a weird. So you know, we're introduced, we get Dragon Lore, this zoom in on the CGI castle. We get this kind of like text or like a narration that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
And then this long dialogue-less thing of like, just even, let's describe this unit, man. Like, we gotta describe this king. So like, this guy's hair and steez is just again, masterpiece class. Like,
so are you talking about the hero, the red haired guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the staff.
Yeah, he's kind of walking around. He's got like his hairstyle can be described as like if somebody has taken a very literal, like made a very literal 3D model out of like a Lunar character's drawing.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of that big anime hair.
Yeah.
But it's just this like textureless, you know, there's no nothing mapped onto it. Mm-hmm. It's just this big polygon on top of its head. And then he has this fucking shit kicker, like, you know, drinking beer in the parking lot, Ronnie Dobbs, like mustache, you know?
Yeah.
What is going on with that? Like
that mustache was made to whip and flow in the wind as he rode his motorcycle down to get new wheels for his motorcycle.
Or in Newports. And if you look at him, he's maybe four heads tall.
Right.
Like he's like a 4 foot tall king god thing. So he leaves while this awesome like fucking spiky dreadnought character on loan from Iron and Blood like arrives on a dragon.
I'm not being generous here, this is the pointiest thing that has ever existed, this dreadnought.
Yeah, it looks like Penance from Marvel Comics, what Speedball turned into. Like, he's got these like S&M spikes on him everywhere in a way that like you one shouldn't. You know, and a generally inadvisable number of spikes.
Yeah, it just an unwise number of S&M spikes.
And then who pops in? Fucking Sheamus, the log tossing champion from like this year's like strongman competition.
Oh yeah, from this year's Caber Games. Yeah.
Yeah. Short kilted Zangief pops in with his wife beater and his kilt. Just to totally throw you off base on where or when we are.
Uh-huh. And they both go into a nursery.
Yeah, like a parking lot dirtbag who suddenly found out he's the king.
Okay.
And you know, this again, this caber tossing you know, Pax enforcer walk into a nursery. Like, it is this incredible joke setup.
Yeah.
And this baby who has it, when you're an adult in this world, you're about four heads tall. When you're a baby, your head is fully half your mass.
Yes.
this baby's an incredible thing as well. And Hugh, it's like a human size head. It's like the same size head as the people have.
Yeah. This might not be a baby. This might be just like a pupil form of whatever these guys are.
It definitely could be. Like, yeah. they just kind of grow out.
But he's swaddled very tightly and he moves around like a unit, basically creating the effect of like, this is just a gigantic pretzel dog from Auntie Anne's that they're picking up and moving around.
It's a corn dog nugget that they're going to raise as their own. You get to play that corn dog nugget. Then inadvisable number of spikes goes into a T-pose.
Yep.
To summon, like, whatever these, how to describe these goblins things, like these long, flat faced, like Rocko's Modern Life looking neverhood goblin things.
Yeah. Wearing pauldrons that are just as spiky as their lords.
It's yeah. They take after their daddy. And if you're watching the YouTube video by Vintage Games Gamer 7, Dragon Lore, The Legends Begin, walkthrough part one, at about minute 47, they show these three guys walk up, and this is like the ultimate, like, I roll up to the club gif. With these three guys in their walk cycles.
Well, they're walking perfectly in sync too, which
it's
is like
really
that,
good.
That's not a technical limitation.
No. And you look at the background of this room and all the shadows that are being cast. Like, this is this kind of like excess that you only got in early 90s, like PC CD-ROM shit.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Like, this is just like if you took Mind Voyage and you'd made it like a notch or two more literal.
Yes. So this caver tossing fella and the king remove the baby.
Yeah.
As these demons show up to cause trouble. Here and it fades out. We don't know what happened. And then it does a close up on Caper Toss guy walking past this amazing like Fort Scalulon.
Yeah,
like this you know, well, what is it, Stonehenge?
It's like Stonehenge but with gigantic skulls.
Bonehenge.
What? Yeah. Somebody would have to make this. These are not skulls of gigantic humanoids.
No. This is definitely definitely sculpted as a thing. And he just walks past it like it's nothing. To deposit you at like a farm.
Yeah.
And then the totally unplayable, incomprehensible game starts.
Yeah.
And then it's like all the fun is over. Like you get a Star Wars credit scroll
with just like unadorned black Helvetica text.
Yes. Just scrolls towards the top and you take a shot every time you see the name Fabrice and you die. It's incredible. Mm. And then the game starts, which I was like so disappointed in, because when this happened, I'm like, this is so awesome. Like, yeah. I want to move one of these things around. Like, I want this to be in third person so I can enjoy that walk cycle. Mm-hmm. Does it crouch and move? Because I guarantee that would have been, you know,
instant. Like that would have been
presses.
Yeah. Twitter avatar. Like everything is about this now.
Like, this is my new life and my new aesthetic. But unfortunately, when you actually start the game, I found this really hard to make any kind of progress in.
Same. So the game itself, it's a point and click adventure game. But it is like a more action heavy Myst, if you can imagine. Also, it is like Myst if there is no economy of nodes.
Yeah. So, yeah. There's too many. I agree with you. There are too many little articulation points of like view screens.
Yeah. So like, well, what it amounts to is like you're a 3D character, 3D roaming in a, you know, in an open world, but it is quantized down to just like, okay, now I'm kind of over here and I'm going to turn and rotate. Oh, there's a thing over there I want to pick up. No, I'm too close to it. I can't back up, so I'm going to do a circle around and then get up close to it. It is the most unwieldy thing.
It's like somewhere between Myst and Real Myst, you know,
it's like if Real Myst was also a HyperCard stack.
Yeah. And your character has this amazing like MacGyver mullet.
Mm-hmm.
You're wearing plaid pajama pants that I could buy from Fred Meyer right now. Like, I think there's supposed to be a kilt, but it's this very unnatural, like blue tartan.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. When you start getting control, your cursor is the busiest like cursor I think I've ever seen in a video game.
It's the busiest cursor I've ever seen outside of an Angel Fire page in 1999.
Yeah, it's good. Like it's a little bat dragon that constantly spins and moves around. When you turn towards your guy, your buddy, that's sitting there whittling wood,
uh-huh,
who's like shirtless and has this amazing nest of chest hair. when he yells at you about finding a bowl and that's your first mission. Like, this is very surreal and good. Well, starting out, if only it were playable.
He says, oh, you gotta go find a bucket so we can milk Bessie. Bessie needs milking.
He does seem like he's going to suck the milk directly from the cow.
He's going to somehow use his dick to milk that cow.
Bessie needs suck, suck. Please, Father. Do not. But then I just couldn't get anywhere. Like, I tried looking around for the bowl, and I eventually like found a walkthrough and saw what I was supposed to do, but it was too late by that point. Yeah. I ended up wandering around this like overly articulated lawn.
Yeah.
Looking for a bowl, but you actually have to go to like two towns over or something like that to get the bowl.
Yeah.
I couldn't go inside the house. I was like, that seemed like a good place to look for a bowl. Yep. But you can't go inside.
No, you can go inside after you bring the bowl.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But you bring back the bowl, then he's like, oh, the cow's gone missing. Go find her. And then you have to use the items that you get inside the house to go get the cow. Like, you have to grab a rope and like tie it to a tree and I guess like spin it around like a tether ball and then unwind it so it can fly over the horizon. I'm just making that up. I couldn't do anything because I couldn't get the inventory to work.
I couldn't do the inventory to work either. I could grab one thing at a time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is this like Adventure Island Dizzy? You know, and it's like I just get to have a single item in my inventory, which is it's littered with like weapons.
Yep. And when you leave.
Yeah, you can drop the weapon, right? Isn't that what right click does?
Well, you can drop the weapon. However, if you're in the same zip code as another person, dropping the weapon implies throwing it directly at whoever's there.
Okay.
I died to this guy so many times by like, okay, does right click open? Nope. No, it does. Yep, I'm dead.
It's like when I killed or when I fought the Crestfallen guy in Dark Souls 1 and then you respawn right at that bonfire and he's right ready there to kill you like immediately. I didn't do that. I wish I had. Instead, I went right where there's like I left the farm and went there's this like this dog thing.
It's like a dog baboon kind of looking.
Yeah, they're really, really weird design, and I just couldn't walk past it, and I was like, oh, do I need to fight it? And I clicked on it and nothing happened. And I was like, do I need to give it food or something? And I just couldn't make any progress. My character kept walking away. And then my character would just go back to the farm on his own.
Mm.
So I guess you are supposed to go past this dog, but
yeah.
There's no the game doesn't give you feedback when you're hovering over a screen transition thing.
Right.
Which is what you'd want.
Yeah.
You know, like sort of turned to a foot or something.
Yeah. Any normal game, the cursor would indicate like, hey, this is a thing to do in a very clear way. I have no idea if the dragon's trying to tell me like, hey, go interact with this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Like the way to get past one of those. So there are two of those little dog monkey things that are blocking your way. You have one bone that you find in a gazebo three towns over. You better pray that you use it on the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty unplayable. This game has a good reputation. Like, people like it, and not just on the GOG scale. Like, I was like, oh, this game has like 4 stars on GOG. It must be the worst game in the world because. Right. GOG, you know, GOG reviewers, God bless them, are not particularly critical of of things that they you know willed into existence. But like even looking elsewhere, like people like this game. It got good reviews when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm really genuinely surprised. I never heard of it, and I'm also surprised that people like it so much.
Yeah, it's very strange to like look at it because it is definitely of an era, right? Like this is much like Siberia. Or any number of those like games that like this is a 3DO ass game, and like,
yeah.
There is nostalgia for this in a way that like it, you know, it's not ironic nostalgia like you would get for its sister genre, the FMV game, right?
Yes, yeah,
yeah.
And it does make me think that like you know how we're kind of on this precipice of PS1 graphics coming back.
Yes,
you know, as an aesthetic, like I want this back more. Like this specific, this is it. It's kind of, you know, similar levels of technology, came out around the same time, but the CD-ROM like 3D PC game like this is something that I have a lot of just kind of affection for. How I mean, it is ironic affection, but uh-huh. I think that this is an untapped aesthetic entirely.
Yeah, I mean, like, so the pre-rendered backgrounds in this, like, basically everything reminds me of launch era EverQuest.
Okay, yeah, that seems about right. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Or like the terrain is very very Starseas tribes.
Yeah, yeah. That is that's accurate.
Yeah,
I need to watch. I didn't get a chance to do it this time. I need to watch at least all the like cutscenes from this and all the dialogue. Here, what?
All its jewels together to make a single stone. The most magnificent jewel there is.
This guy who's got this crazy lisp is wearing a helmet that has four horns coming out, or six horns coming out of it. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's wearing a helmet patterned after the Queen of Blades from StarCraft. Like, his helmet is cosplaying as Kira. Yeah.
Wow, some of this stuff. So the manual for this, in trying to open up the inventory screen, thinking like, hey, what am I doing wrong? The manual for this is like 90 pages long, and it's mostly fiction. Like, it is mostly building up this entire world, which is the most generic thing. Like, your whole goal is to try and become a Dragon Knight so you can overthrow the Dark Lord.
It's pretty strange. Like, how this ends up being that generic and not based on something else. Mm-hmm. Again, like, the guy who made it, this Fabrice Bernard guy, the other stuff he had done was he worked on games based on Riverworld, which is a Philip Jose Farmer fantasy series. And that ends up making a lot of sense for this.
Mm.
Like, that's also, I mean, it's not super generic, but like, Philip Jose Farmer, I think, is kind of like a pretty solidly C tier fantasy author. Him wanting to do his own kind of version of that, like, it makes sense with him.
Yes.
Like, being a fan of this, I think.
Yeah. The developer for this, so Cryo Games, I had never heard of them, but they're very prolific. Like, it seems like they were very active in like the upper tier PC games in Europe, is the sense that I get, because like, it's a French developer.
Yeah, it's got kind of that feel to it as well.
Yeah.
You know, and French development is this whole, I feel like there's a lot there, you know, that is it's not really considered, but they do have their own kind of flavor.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of games, like, generally, you know, like that kind of Prince of Persia Out of This World thing is where you mostly get that. But every once in a while, you'll play like a French game, and it's like, oh, like, that's, you know, this is an area that's making games too. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, actually, he worked on a game with one of the most generic titles I've ever seen, a PS2 game I'd never heard of before, called Conflict Zone. Do you want to take a trip down to the Conflict Zone? Yeah,
It was a fast follow for Dead Space.
Yes, Dead Space, Conflict Zone, Inter Slice, CompuWeb,
Hyper Global Mega Net. Yeah. No, I mean, like, but there was that kind of just like weird cadre of games. It was like Kill Zone and Kill Switch.
Yo, sure.
Yeah. I have genuine affection for Kill Switch. Like, that was a very good game. I remember it, but like, I'm a little bit hesitant to go back to it because I'm sure it is just early PS2 as all hell.
Mm. Yeah. I've not gone back to the Kill Switch.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I've ever played Kill Switch, but I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
It's like, is that one of them, or is that Kill Zone that was like one of the first, like, killer apps for the PSP?
You know what I'm talking about? Kill Zone would have been it. Kill Switch was it was like an early cover shooter, like even before Resident Evil 4.
Before Winback?
I don't know about before Winback. Winback was in 64. Yeah.
I don't know Kill Switch. Take cover, take aim, take over.
Yeah. It was a good action game, and it was like fresh before, you know, Gears of War came and made it so everything was that.
There's a GB port of it.
Ooh. I'm sure that's unbearable.
That's how we get in on this show. And you get an excuse to revisit.
Yeah.
Even though it's supposed to be pretty fun, it's got pretty good reviews as well.
The GBA one?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Stylized as kill.switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cryo also published a game that I absolutely need to see if it's available still, called Dreams to Reality, stylized with the dreams as all in caps. In this game, you are Duncan, a man who must save the worlds of dream and reality from Dark Force.
I think Dark Force seems like a capable antagonist to me.
Yep.
Dark Force. Anti-bad. You're sure that's not a Kingdom Hearts game? Because that definitely sounds like the plot of a Kingdom Hearts game.
Yeah, mounting the Disney forces against the Sads.
Yeah, can you imagine a Dark Force?
Can you
imagine, like, Jiminy Cricket advising me on how to take on the Dark Force? Because I can.
Yeah. There is no dreams to reality on GOG. So
that's a bummer.
Oh well. Yeah, I didn't get very far in this. Like, I just kept on inadvertently throwing implements,
throwing at my, swords at guys.
Yeah, yeah. At Seamus McOface.
Seamus McFuckow.
Yeah,
the dad everybody wants to be.
And just kept on dying.
Yeah. It'd be hard to milk a cow with your dick, I think. I'm trying to think of how you would do it. I think that if you had like, so if you're really packing heat, and the experience was non-sexual for you,
right,
the way to do it would be to tie your member in a knot around the top of the udder and then kind of do like a really fast squat. so you pull it down.
That sounds like releasing the milk. Is that technically sex with an animal?
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because like if somebody was impossible. Watching, people were thinking borrowing some friction from that cow.
Yeah, and the cow would get milk all over you. So then you'd be like, it's not me, it's not cum, it's milk, I promise. You know, and they'd be like, sure, you know,
every time
your ding dong's out. But I don't think it is sex. I think it's using your penis in a non sexual fashion as just like a normal tool.
Oh no, you know, like you do.
Yeah, like it's useful for a lot of things.
Yeah, pushing elevator buttons.
Yeah, pushing elevator buttons. Hell, if you use one of those mini urinals, you can use it to flush. You don't want to get your hands dirty. if you can get rock hard for non-sexual purposes, but just sort of for torque, for leverage.
Yeah, just no rules get turgid. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to me and my buddies like to go down to the billiards hall and everybody gets turged, and then we use it as a non-sexual tool to play billiards.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, chalk the tips and then sink the stones, you know.
We call it regular size pocket pool.
Yeah. it's regulation pocket pool.
It's on ESPN 7.
just some like professional pool players are so funny looking to me anyway. Just imagining one of them like wearing crotchless chaps, like silent on up to the side of the table. Just, you know, puts his eye down on the ball and everything. Yeah. And then just kind of like parks his balls on the side of the table to like line up his shot. Yeah. You know,
so
mantles.
What's very funny about that to me, so you know, the general appearance, like the dumpy plain appearance of leisure sports people, right?
Yeah,
you know, very 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 skilled competitors. I don't know that I want to call them athletes because that's a very specific word. Yeah. But very skilled competitors, you would think that like they would get their like what's his name, Jeff, not Foxworthy, they're Jeff Gordon kind of guy. He like rolls, sure. who rolls up and basically becomes the face of the sport just by being like kind of generally handsome. And I say this is a person who looks like a professional poker player, right? Yeah. So like I understand that I'm approaching this. I'm approaching this with the proper humility. But like you would think that would be a thing where like the most visible person, you know, like you just wouldn't see the professional bowlers out there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know who the most like presentable professional pool player is.
No.
You know, I don't know if there is that person who's kind of come up and been the face of it.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing about you watch like fucking The Color of Money, right? And it's like, there's no way Tom Cruise is a professional pool player.
Right. Right.
Like, yeah, that guy's too good looking for this.
Yeah. And this is top of mind for me because of, you know, the Winter Olympics just happened. And that is that every 4 years, people just get crazy about curling.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's amazing. It's kind of a fun sport to watch. I just don't know how. I wonder how it came to be, because it's such a, the verb in it is such a like it makes sense, but it feels so indirect.
Yeah,
it's like the Pac-Man 2 of sports.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Like you suggest things to the piece.
I mean, it's like being a good manager. You just make it easy. You make the right thing to do the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. Like being a city planner, put garbage cans on every corner.
Right. You know?
Yeah. And that's what curling is.
Yeah. Putting out those Portland's crazy outdoor bathrooms.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
AKA Benson Bubblers. That's not, you don't pee in those.
What?
The drinking fountain. Those are the bespoke drinking fountains.
Oh yeah, I remember being really freaked out about those the first couple of years that I came. I think I called them public bidets.
Yeah, that was the joke I was going for. A little yeah. Portland lore for people who understand that you're not supposed to drink out of things that people probably peed in.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Okay. And I'm bringing us right into the scat zone because it's like, you know, that's the level I'm bad at.
I was trying to get us away from playing pool with our dicks, but continue.
Well, this isn't that. So, are there things in life, like objects, that no matter how clean they were, like, so like in my mind, I'm imagining you were talking about like a public bidet, right? Yeah. Let's say you got a toilet and it's been used as a toilet, et cetera. Is there a degree of cleanliness or like processing that could go through that toilet that you would eventually drink from it?
So
I'm not going to say it's a disaster scenario, like where it's the only water available.
Right.
But
right.
I will say there's some kind of incentive to it. Like it's, you know, there's some reason to use it as opposed to just like water from the sink.
Right. Right. So, and just so this doesn't become like, oh, would you do it for $1,000? Would you do it for $10,000? Yeah. Presume somebody is offering you enough money that would make a difference for you in your life.
Yeah. Is there an amount of money that would be like, you know, we've cleaned this toilet pretty well. Okay. I need you.
Did I get to observe them doing it?
No, black box.
Oh, Jesus, man.
And the thing that you're drinking out of is not water. It's like muscle milk.
Okay. Well, there's no amount of money you could pay me to give me a drink muscle milk. Yeah. That stuff's nasty.
Yeah, it's pretty foul, and especially just it's thick. so there's nothing there.
Yeah, I mean, there's okay. So here's the thing, and this is the. Maybe the purpose of the thought experiment that you're bringing up, but like what you're describing is kind of the shortcut around my, you know, I like to think of myself as a fairly rational person. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, okay, like if it's just been sprayed with bleach and like run through an industrial autoclave, like there's nothing about that toilet that is contaminated. Right.
Yes.
It has not been tainted. However, the shortcut around my rationality basically reveals that I believe in cursed objects.
That is what I'm trying to get at. So I'm trying to find the exact point of articulation, you know, the line in which it is the magic projection.
Right.
Part of that everyone does. You're not unique in that.
Yeah.
The magic projection you're projecting onto the object of the toilet. Like you imagining the platonic form of toilet versus, you know, actual toilet.
Right. And so this also gets around to the other. Like to the other kind of part of this that I think complicates it. Will anybody know that I did this besides the people who arranged for it? Because that might actually also, you know, that might change it.
Yeah. Cause you want people to give you kisses.
Right.
And then you also want, you know, you have, there's part of that is like an identity thing, you know, and again, I don't say that as a cruel thing. Like everybody has those things as identity things. And like, you know, you identify as somebody like that's part of just your personality.
Right.
You know,
right. It's a certain, that, like a certain fastidiousness, right?
Yes. You know, and if anything presented out, even if you know, you can't give all those asterisks.
Right.
You know, if somebody saw you drink out of a toilet, especially muscle milk, then they'd be like, oh, cool, that whole thing has been a lie. And you'd have to be like, no. They took it into a black box and they power sanded it. And, you know, it's strawberry muscle milk. It's not chocolate. You know, you have all these like different factors that you try to explain.
Yeah.
But nobody has time for that. You know,
no. I mean, just say like it's the old proverb, right? You know, you build 1,000 bridges, kill one man, you're a murderer, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think, so let's say, you know, whether anyone would know, I'm going to say 5 people on Earth know, but they're random.
Oh, well, I mean, so like of the 7.5 billion people on Earth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty good odds.
Right, right.
There won't be somebody who will ever get back to you, but.
But who knows? Yeah.
Those 5 people could be like me, Chris, you know, your mom and your stepdad.
Right.
And then like Zheng Hua. You know, and across the world.
Right. Right. And you know what? So that is also like, that is on the other side of like the fuzzy line of magical thinking, right? Because the magical thinking that says, yes, that object is cursed. I can't get over that because of the scale. If it's just 5 out of the 7.5 billion, I'll roll those dice.
Yeah. Those are really good odds. I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, if you believe in soulmates, the odds are your soulmate doesn't live in the country where you're at, at. Like
there's so an Aang by, They Might Be Giants is about.
Oh,
that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make a hole with a gun and a desktop globe. And the exit wound is where the person who's made for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good sentiment.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Yeah. So yes, if it's only five random people, I will roll those dice.
There is an amount of money.
Yeah. Basically it's like an opposite lottery, right?
Yeah.
I won't play the lottery, but if it was a lottery where everybody but five people in the world would win, I would still buy that ticket. So
except the ticket's at the bottom of a big pile of muscle milk.
the
bottom of a toilet.
See, that's the thing. They only put muscle milk in a container like that for shipping purpose. You can actually just stack muscle milk up on a plate. It's like a Frosty from Wendy's.
Exactly. And if you put it in the back of the toilet tank and try to flush with muscle milk,
it's ruined. It's like a cement mixer. If you let the cement dry, that thing's ruined, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. This is no longer a toilet. This is an art piece. I don't know. I was just thinking about that because I was, what was I thinking about? The thing that made me think about it was I dropped my glasses in the toilet.
Okay.
Which happened and no one must know. It happens. And I was just kind of like, this is gross, but like, it's not actually that gross.
Right. Right.
Like, I had to
cleaning products. Like there are ways you can rectify that situation, but is that object cursed now?
And that's the way I was thinking about it in relation to food is that arguably this thing that I wear on my face all the time.
Oh, it's one of the most filthy objects in your possession.
Well, and it's kind of grosser to have something that is contaminated in that thing even than eating it.
Yeah.
Like eating it, it's a one-time thing. Like last night, I might have eaten some sushi that was questionable and it contributed to me not feeling great today, mm-hmm. among other factors. And it's like, that's bad, but it's kind of one and done.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I'll get through that. Whereas if I did have a contaminated object, I did have my glasses that were just like, this is forever, you know, no good. Then like, it's way huger deal just to wear something on my face
all the
time, you know. It doesn't have to be like toilet. This could be contaminated. Like I could have fallen into like an abattoir, you know. This could have fallen into a sluice pit.
Just fallen into a sluice pit of awful. Yeah,
yeah. This could have been way. We don't have to make it gross, or we don't have to make it
scatological. Yeah.
Yeah, it could, you know, it's just the idea that something, or like maybe, you know, it was worn by a famous murderer. You know, it could be metaphorically or like spiritually gross.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like yeah, I went down a river in Hitler's canoe. Okay.
Yeah. 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 Is that like a bad canoe? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, in my screenplay, it does come to life and start killing people.
Yeah. Oh, the canoe.
Yeah.
There's always one of my favorite things on Something Awful that they stopped doing was the Something Awful movie database.
I love that.
It's one of my favorite, like, God, I miss those. It's probably, I think, the strongest thing that they used to do on the front page.
Well, they were so dense with the jokes, and it's my favorite kind of jokes, which is all bullet points.
Right? Yeah. 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 It's, you know, and they I love there was one for like Death Canoe and it had an example dialogue and like, somebody's like, it's like Robert, but canoes don't kidnap people. Sarah whispering, this one does. I love that joke so much. This one does.
While we're just talking about funny things on the internet, that same one, there was like a, they did one for an episode of a show, like a 90s, like MacGyver kind of show called like where the episode was titled like High Stakes or whatever. And it's like, and they dropped the episode title in the dialogue. And then like an example, like Trevor, the stakes have never been higher. And it's just like a bunch of examples of like people talking about how high the stakes are. This one does.
I love it so much.
Oh yeah. I feel bad that I didn't get further in this, but like I literally couldn't continue.
Yeah, I just couldn't make any progress with it. I like it. I think this is probably not a bad game, and there's a lot of joy to be had in this super shitty, you know, kind of aesthetic. But the there's not tons of. I wanted some more game facts for this, and there's not really that. There's a couple of like just weird one-off things, like this guy who just says Dragonorific, and then says it was worth a try. And it's like, what were you going for? What was worth a try, Steve Wynn, 456? And then somebody
has a casino magnate who was me too, Steve Wynn,
yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And then the dragon lore. What do you know about dragons? And only three people did this. And I was really hoping this would be like everyone saying what they know about dragons. Cause like, it's kind of an interesting question. If you just say like, hey, what do you just take something innocuous and be like, hey, what do you know about this?
Yeah.
And it's a really good way. I think like when I think about things like that to like understand the grand totality of dumb knowledge that I have, like,
oh yeah.
You know, as much as I, like, I'm not a smart man, but like my brain contains a lot.
Universes.
Like, yeah. Like absolutely more information than anyone could ever. It's kind of incredible. You know, like I just know a lot about dragons, and that's just one tiny little subset,
right,
of my brain. But I know a lot about dragons. Cool.
I think you do too.
Yeah, we both know more than the average person. But even the average person, if I just went up to like some rando and was like, "Hey, what do you know about dragons?"
Yeah,
like, there's several pages worth of information, I feel like.
Right. So and then also like the pro response is, well, what kind of dragons are we talking about? Chinese dragons? Are we talking?
Yeah,
about,
absolutely.
Like, yeah. Like, you know, which campaign setting? Yeah.
Yeah, chromatic dragons. Are we talking about you know, the gem dragons?
We're talking about the neutral dragons. Come on.
Yeah, they got written out a second edition. Yeah, so it's just that's all. That the message board just made me think about that.
Yeah, it's the conceptual version of walking up to somebody and having them draw Homer Simpson from memory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. and the three things people know is like, you know, one person goes, "Dragons love gold." Yeah, fair enough. The second person says, "Dragons are voiced by Sean Connery."
Okay.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, that didn't happen once. And then the third person says, "Dragons bring a massive amount of stereotypes and cliches whenever they're involved in anything," italicized. And that person's screen name is Dragon's Pride. So I'm kind of curious if this is like Dunkelzahn from Shadowrun, doing a vicious cell phone or something like that. Like,
you know. I love the idea of a cell phoning dragon.
Yeah. I like the idea of a self cleaning dragon.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and apparently Dragon's Pride owns Warframe and Monster Hunter 4.
Sure. So sounds reasonable.
Yeah, good for that guy.
Yeah. So there's one board here, the 3DO version. They're like, there's somebody saying like, enter a witty topic title here. And then saying this is their seventh secret board. So there definitely are people who just like, again, just like these wandering nomadic tribes going from board to board, like setting up just like 2-page long threads until they move on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a game for them.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it doesn't seem like a fun game.
No, it sounds kind of pointless to me, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
To me, I guess, like, you know, the novelty of writing a thing, you know, on the internet, maybe at some point was just like, oh, I'm typing into a text field and other people can read it.
Future.
You know, maybe it was just like that basic.
Future generations, 10 years later, somebody will read Fox Reborn Signature. Discuss, debate, play, gaming for the masses.
gaming for the masses.
I don't have anything more to say about dragon lore.
Yeah, I might be all dragoned out. You know, I love them.
Yeah,
and I like this game. I want to watch. I would love to read like a good let's play of it.
Yeah,
that wasn't somebody trying to be funny.
Yes,
you know, which I just don't think will happen.
No.
I think everyone who's going to talk about this is going to try to make jokes about it.
Not with this vintage.
Yeah. Yeah. But this, unlike the last thing we recorded this in the same session as we did Get Fat.
Yep.
And that, you know, it's like the joystick tuggers had their greasy mitts all over that game. Here, like, this is not that. I looked up on YouTube and it's not like, you know, it's Mathis Games, you know, doing like all, it's not that kind of thing. Not Mathis Games. You might think you have Markiplier.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, YouTube screamers are not doing lol vids on this.
No, you have to be very specific when you're looking at videos of this as well. If you just do dragon lore gameplay, you get a lot of Counter-Strike Go back. I guess, yes. Dragon lore is the name of a gun or something in that game.
It's the name of a skin for a gun. I found that too, and I was like, did they make like a Counter-Strike skin based on this fucking game? Like, but no, they just chose the same words. Yeah. It doesn't even look like a dragon. It's just like a pretty generic looking skin for a sniper rifle.
Right, right. That's sold for $60,000.
Yeah, because that is a whole thing.
Yeah.
That we don't have time to go into, but that is that's bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that is all.
Yep.
Thanks everybody for listening. If you like this show, you should support it on Patreon.
Yes,
if you
go to
patreon.com/duckfeedtv, and you will enjoy yourself.
Yeah, and if you do that, you can be like Mitch Bennis, who demanded this episode.
Oh, hey Mitch.
Chair, yeah. Yeah, saying this game was so confusing to me as a child. The thing is, when I went back to it, the game was even more confusing to me as an adult.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that does seem like the proper experience for this. I definitely could have as a kid, I could have gotten through this and into it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's got that, that going for it. Yeah. So thank you, Mitch. Mitch is great. What a long time, supporter of us. I really do appreciate it. If you want to be like Mitch,
yes,
that's how you do it. It's through Patreon. You can also rate and review us. You know, not everybody has money to patronize. Mm-hmm. Understand that. But you can go on iTunes and rate and review the show. A couple nice reviews recently. Those are great, and those help more people learn about the show.
Yes.
You can also just tell people directly. If you want to skip the middleman, just
shout it from the rooftops until the cops come.
Yeah, exactly. Tell the cops.
Yeah.
Be like, you could arrest me, or you could. Have you seen this fucking video on not Zoo Race. The one after
Angel
that.
Quiz. Yeah.
Yeah, Angel Quiz. Have you seen this? You know, and then somebody on one of the message boards, you know, because we all do vanity searches mostly for bad reasons. But like somebody was like, this. I mean, I'm not proud of it. We both do it. Like, I'm not calling you out.
The way that you said that was very funny to me.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, it's a bad impulse that we both share. But somebody was like, this is criminally underwatched. And I went on and I watched it again. I've revisited after a very long time. It's only got like 2,000 views, and I think that video was very funny. Like, I think that is more people should watch that. So I think that is criminally underviewed.
Agreed. Yeah, it's that's on youtube.com/duckfeedtv if you want to see that.
I got to expose Derek to Angel Quiz. Ooh. We were gonna sit down for a co-op session, and he didn't know what it was. I assume that he did. And I walked him through it, and it was great.
I need to go back and play it again.
It's so, you know. And this is not the episode of the show if I were going to try to convince anybody that I wasn't like a puerile little kid. But that, like, those gangsters farting, like, there's that. I don't know how you get the delivery where the guy's like, well, you guys have been farting a lot. Smells pretty bad in here. I'm going to go. Defeated mob boss. Who's just like, this is pretty gross. I got to go. You know, it's. And I watched the video again, and I think that is legitimately the most I've ever laughed in anything we've done, because you can't hear me. And then I come through and my voice is all, and I was like, oh, it was because I was like wheezing. You know, I couldn't catch my breath. I was soundlessly laughing because I was laughing so hard at that.
Yeah.
So it is. It's the funniest thing. I don't know. It's real good.
Oh, I love that thing.
My God, it's so extremely good. I love it so much. So that would be a good entry point.
Yes.
For people.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Until next time.
Who is Spike Dog?
Yeah. Who is Spike Dog? Who is Spike? I think that's the dog that hates Heathcliff.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Spike's a real dog name.